As we continue with our Lenten series, what are you up to? The theme for today is lift up. And as we look at the passage read today from John's Gospel, this scene takes place right before the Passover, the festival that occurs in Jerusalem. Many people gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate this festival, including some Greeks who come to Philip and ask if they could see Jesus. Verse 20 says this, "Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.'" Now, it's not surprising to have Gentiles in Jerusalem looking for Jesus, since many had seen and heard about Jesus's many miracles, especially the raising of Lazarus from the dead. They were probably looking for an introduction and decided to ask one of his disciples to help them. So Philip told Andrew about the request of the Greeks, and then together they went and told Jesus. And although this is the last we hear of the Greeks, their importance stands out. For their visit illustrates the truth of the Pharisees' statement about Jesus found in verse 19, which states that the Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." The world has gone after Jesus. Their visit also prompts Jesus to acknowledge that his hour has come and to explain his impending death. That's verse 23. "He said to them, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified.'" So here Jesus finally announces that his hour has come, probably due to the hardening of the resolve of his opposition after the raising of Lazarus from the dead, and the thought that everyone is now flocking to Jesus. And this announcement begins a conversation with his disciples about his upcoming death. And at the end of the conversation, Jesus tells his disciples in verse 32, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. These verses tell us that when Jesus is crucified, then all the world, including the Greeks, will see Jesus. But only then. That's because if we really and truly want to see Jesus, there is one place above all that we must look. We must look to the cross. But why the cross? Why not the triumphant entry or the empty tomb or the glorious transfiguration? Why do we have to keep being reminded of his death on the cross? I'm sure we've all asked that question at one time or another. Even Jesus is tempted to ask that question, as it evident in verse 27. "Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour." Even Jesus is tempted to ask his heavenly Father to save him from this hour, from his death on the cross, to try and find another way to save our world. But that is not the true gospel, the full story of what Jesus came to do for us. For the cross is where Jesus calls Satan, For the cross is where Jesus defeated sin, death, and the devil. It is where he defeated the ruler of this world, as Jesus calls Satan in the gospel reading. It is where he bore the judgment of the world. It is where he accomplished our salvation. Without the cross, Jesus knows that his mission will have been in vain. As he said to his disciples in verse 24, "Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Jesus knew that he would remain a single grain unless he died on the cross. To bear much fruit, he had to die on the cross. And if we think of Jesus' death on the cross as being the grain of wheat falling into the earth and dying, then what is the fruit that it bears? What is the fruit born by the cross? Well, first, the cross frees us from sin, death, and the devil, as Martin Luther liked to put it. It is not our hard work that frees us from these things. We are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. It is not Jesus' teaching that frees us from these things. His teaching shows us how to live once we are freed. It is his death on the cross that frees us. For by shedding his blood, Jesus took the punishment we deserved and offered us his righteousness. Jesus took upon himself all our sin and the death that our sin deserved. He defeated the devil and all the dark powers that held us captive. Now our sins can be forgiven, and we can be set free to become the humans we were created to be. As we see Jesus saying in verse 31, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw people to myself." Another thing is that the cross brings us into Jesus' kingdom. We now belong to Jesus. And who better to belong to? Think about that. For we who believe in Jesus belong to Jesus, and we get to live under him in his kingdom. And if you think about it, honestly, we are always living under someone else's kingdom, aren't we? C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, "There is no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God or counterclaimed by Satan." Think about that. We are either living in God's kingdom or in Satan's. We are either serving God or serving our sinful desires and the ruler of this world. Jesus dies on the cross to free us from our sin and to claim us for his own, to transfer us from one kingdom to another, from the kingdom of sin, death, and the devil to the kingdom of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit forever. That is what the cross did for us. And lastly, the cross helps us bear the fruit of the kingdom while on this earth. Jesus died on the cross to free us, to bring us into his kingdom, and to give us the Holy Spirit that we might bear the fruit of his kingdom. John 15:5, Jesus says this, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." When we abide in Jesus, we bear much fruit. He is the grain of wheat that fell into the ground. He is the grain of fruit that fell into the ground and on the cross, so that he could bear much fruit. And he bears the fruit through us. He is the vine, we are the branches. Jesus died to plant the seed of the gospel in each of us. And when we stay connected to him, we bear his fruit. For by our actions and our words, we live out the gospel and share the gospel message to others. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. In many churches today, especially your older churches, these words are etched on a brass plaque or penned on a piece of parchment that's on the pulpit, where only the eyes of the preacher can see it. These words are placed there to remind the preacher that he or she is to proclaim Christ and his gospel. It was a reminder that people didn't come to church to see the preacher's antics or frustrations or brilliance or conviction. They came to have an encounter with Jesus, the one who attracted them to worship in the first place. Now, I've heard people say that they don't go to church because they see God anywhere. You know, in the spectacular sunsets and the rainbows that stretch across the sky. They see God when they're on camping trips in the Sierra Nevada or strolling along a wooded golf course. Yet, as noble and good as these experiences are, if you really want to see Jesus, you need to be looking directly where? At the cross. That's because Jesus is not about a God of rainbows and butterflies and long walks on the beach. You'll find Jesus with you there, but Jesus is about a God who gets down into the mayhem and muck and mess of life. Think about folks that you know who are struggling, hurting, battling cancer or some other disease. They don't need a God whom they can see on the golf course or in a sunset in the Sierra Nevadas. They need a God who completely relates to their suffering, their struggles, their diseases. A God who loves them so much that he stretched out his arms and died on a cross for them so that they may have the gift of salvation, forgiveness of sins, right relationship with God, eternal life forever with Jesus. They need to see a Jesus on a cross. You and I, we all are preachers. Think about this. We all are preachers, and each morning when we wake up, we step into a pulpit that has a brass plate that says, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And as preachers, we show people a Jesus who completely relates to our feelings of loneliness or abandonment, who understands pain, suffering, and death. We show people a Jesus on a cross, the life-giving cross on which hung the Savior of the world because of his great love for us. Today, by God's grace, you and I get to see Jesus. We have heard his words. We have worshiped, prayed, and gathered in his name. We have been set free from sin, death, and the devil. We have been reminded that we are God's beloved, and we now belong to Jesus and live in his kingdom. Attached to Jesus, we can now bear the fruit of the kingdom, reminding all the world through our words and our deeds that we have a Savior that has been lifted up and seeks to draw all the world to himself. May we live our lives lifting up Jesus and the message of salvation, hope, and love to all. For this is what is found on the cross.